Hi, I'm Larry Vogel from the staff of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. I chair a task force appointed in response to Resolution 4-06A of the 2013 LCMS Convention. We were asked to provide a plan to help the Synod resolve questions about the service of licensed lay deacons. There have been questions about this matter and debates for over 25 years, ever since the 1989 LCMS Wichita Convention approved a plan which allowed trained and supervised laymen to serve temporarily in word and sacrament ministry when no pastor is available, in exceptional circumstances, or in emergencies. Some have questioned the practice itself, believing it shouldn't be done. Others, that the practice is extended far beyond emergency or exceptional circumstances. Still others wondered why such service should only be for emergencies, or should only be temporary, or should even require Synod approval. After surveying our district presidents and visiting the districts with the most active lay deacons programs, our task force published a report 10 months ago. It's available on the Synod website. The task force worked with a strong commitment to two things, theology and mission. The report provides a biblical theological framework for how lay people and pastors complement each other in our Lord's mission and in the church. Then we propose several recommendations to try to address the questions and to build greater harmony. One of the most important recommendations is a special colloquy to provide a way for lay deacons who are serving pastorally, that is, the men who are regularly preaching and administering the sacraments, so that they would be recognized as LCMS pastors. That would answer most of the theological objections to the practice. Mission is no less important than theology. Theology forms mission, and mission's the practice of theology. So we also recommend ways to encourage and facilitate training for future pastors, especially pastors who'll be able to serve small congregations, or ethnically diverse outreach and mission settings, or geographically isolated ministries. Lastly, we're encouraging district training programs for laity, so that laity and pastors work together in congregational life, and especially in mission and outreach. We believe the Synod can provide pastors for most exceptional circumstances, and at the same time, equip all the baptized for service in congregations and in outreach and mission. So we're trying to uphold both the biblical teaching of the royal priesthood and the Bible's teaching about the office of the public ministry. Every believer, man, woman, and child, needs to be able to confess Christ before the world, or as Peter says, to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Just as surely, when our Synod gives a particular man the responsibility to preach publicly and to administer the sacraments for a congregation, he should do so as a called pastor and be recognized by all of us as a called pastor. Now let's talk with some folks from the Mid-South District. Since their 2015 district convention, they've implemented some of the task force recommendations. Thank you, and God's blessings.
Hello, I'm Roger Pavel, the president of the Mid-South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. With me today is Reverend Russell Shoemaker, the chairman of the task force for our district and the chairman of our licensed lay deacon committee in the Mid-South District. How do you see the things in the 406 committee recommendations paralleling with what it is that are needed in our district and the Synod?
Mm-hmm. And we see the recommendations of the Synodical Task Force and the resolution as we passed it to be an opportunity to enhance the ministries that we do together by recognizing these men who've been doing this work as pastors.
And there are a number of our congregations that are relying very heavily, if not exclusively, on the licensed lay deacons in our district. The differentiation that is mentioned in the 406 committee and what has happened in our recommendations from the resolution that was passed, how do you see that working out in the district right now and as far as our committee is concerned?
Well, what we're trying to do is to carry out our resolution, which directs us or encourages us to move these men who are presently, these licensed lay deacons who are presently serving in word and sacrament ministry toward ordination. At the same time, we want to provide a pathway, a continued pathway for others who will never be in Word and Sacrament ministry probably, but have skills and abilities that they would like to use for the work of the church. So to help them, to assist them in that, we hope to have ongoing educational opportunities to enhance those particular skills.
Mm. A couple of the recommendations in the 406 task force, and was part of our recommendations as well, had to do with outreach and evangelism, and basically some of the work, the assistance of the pastors in the congregations. Can you address that a little bit?
Well, certainly there is a continuing need to get the word out. That's what we're all about as the church. And if there's any way that we can help identify lay people and provide them opportunities for training to use those natural skills that God has given them, that would be a wonderful thing. And certainly the task force recommendation that we seek out people who could be in the role of evangelists, that certainly goes hand in hand with what we're trying to do.
The financial issue is obviously one of the things that is a concern to some of these people. So how have you addressed that, and how do you see the 406 addressing that?
Well, finances is always a concern in any endeavor that we do as a church. So we want to make sure that finances would not prevent someone from being able to enter into that SMP program. As said before, we have some district funds available, and we also are encouraging congregations, but it's our hope, the recommendations that would be passed at our synodical convention, or resolutions that would be passed, would provide for some funding on the synodical level.
Do you see any reason why men who are doing Word and Sacrament ministry on a regular basis, you know, full-time or at least half-time or something like that, why these men should not be ordained?
Well, these men in our congregations have been doing this for quite some time. And obviously, we are pleased that they're doing that. We are indebted to them for their service to those congregations and to our church. We want to ensure that those congregations can remain open. Now, these men have been serving well for a number of years, and to move forward to ordination would be both beneficial to the men and to the congregations, and if I could add a third one, that would be to the synod as a whole. So we rejoice at this opportunity we have to move forward.
And we rejoice in the work that these men have been doing, and recognize that they should be recognized for that work when the congregation has expected them to carry out the role of being a pastor.
And this is an opportunity to affirm these men, saying we recognize what you do as being the Lord's work in this place. And we want to remove any doubt that others might have that you should be there doing that. And why wouldn't we ordain them? Because they do the work of the pastor. They should be ordained. And that's our affirming of them. And that's also enhancing the work of the congregation to know that there's no question whether this man should be there serving them or not. So why not, in a spirit of love, move forward and ordain these men, and that will remove that block of stumbling. Mm-hmm. And our Lord's work, our work for our Lord together, will be greatly enhanced.
So recognizing this vital work, and particularly as it is in the Mid-South District, that without these licensed lay deacons in the Mid-South District, many of our congregations would never have been able to continue to exist. This is a way of being able to improve that standing of that congregation now and in the long term. Joining me today is Bill Schutte. Bill is a deacon in Mountain Home, Arkansas, and has served in a capacity as a deacon in the Mid-South District for a little over 13 years, isn't that right, Bill?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate the work that you have been doing as a deacon, and we, as you know, being a member of our task force committee in the Mid-South District, that we want to support as strongly as we can the work that you're doing for that ministry to keep these congregations vital and growing, and and supported by what it is that we have in the Mid-South District and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now you've read the 406A recommendations. Mm-hmm. What do you see in there that will be helping you in your ministry?
Well, it will add some finality to it. There's not going to be a new hurdle every couple of years that I have to jump over or get through. The other thing that concerns me is that during our worship service, I can't say to my people, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I declare you sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. He needs to be called pastor because this is what he's doing.
And you're doing the pastoral role.
I'm doing the pastoral role.
Everything that is taking place outside of the walls or inside the walls is the role of a pastor.
The role of a pastor.
What do the people call you?
Well, it's funny. I thought back to when I first started serving a congregation in Fort Smith area. One of the German ladies that was a member of that congregation made it very clear that I was a deacon.
Okay.
And that's the way I should be referred to. He's a deacon. He's not a pastor. Within 6 months, she was calling me pastor. And that's the way most of the people look at me.
Because you were functioning.
I was functioning as a pastor.
Right. If you're functioning as a pastor, do you see any reason why you shouldn't be ordained as a pastor?
I don't. I have often stated that I just want to serve the people that I am serving, and I want to do it in a way that is in conjunction with the Lutheran doctrines and the Lutheran confessions. And I just want to, in a way, be accepted by all the brothers as to what I'm doing, that we're all working for the same purpose.
Yeah. There's about 500 men that are out in the field right now that are looking squarely you in the eye about your support of the 406. Can you tell them a little bit about why you're supporting that?
I'm supporting it because I think it's important for these people to be recognized for what they're doing. That if they're going to fill the office of the pastor, that they be called pastor. I had read to you earlier a scripture from Luke chapter 9 where John says to Jesus, "We found someone casting out spirits or demons in your name, and we tried to stop him." And Jesus replied, "Don't stop him. If he's not against you, he is for you." And I feel until the synod passes something in convention where it says, "Hey, okay, you're not the same pedigree we are, but we support what you're doing, and if we can help you in any way, this is what we want to do."
You know, at the last convention, I requested that the convention give me the ability to appoint a task force to help solve the continuing challenge and dissensus in our church over the issue of licensed lay deacons. You see, I believe very firmly, and I still believe to this very moment, that we can grant the flexibility to make sure we don't close any congregations and we keep serving small groups of people in difficult areas and circumstances with great zeal, as has been done. And at the same time, on the other hand, that we operate in a way that is absolutely faithful to the Bible, which knows of an office of the ministry, and also our Lutheran confessions. We can do this. There's no reason not to ordain these men. They are carrying out the functions of the office of the ministry regularly. They are preaching and administering the sacraments. This task force has given us a way forward to place these men fully in the office of the ministry and to recognize them as such with all the blessings and benefits thereof. We also can have enough flexibility to continue to serve challenging and difficult situations. The fact that we have the SMP program now, which we didn't have in 1989, and many other options give us the ability to move forward to make sure everybody is taken care of and that we use the gifts of all of our people. We want lay training programs. We want more people, men and women, to go into lay training programs. We will unveil and launch a huge new
evangelism campaign. We need everybody, layperson and clergy, trained in evangelism so we can go forth and proclaim the gospel everywhere. God help us, and He certainly has. I know these issues are difficult and emotional. If we all step back for a moment, pray the Lord of the harvest, send workers, and give us the wisdom to love one another, to be patient with one another, to forgive one another, and to be flexible with one another, we can get this done. God bless you.